be blessed of the Lord as we meet around the Word of God today. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do pray for Thy presence and Thy power as we meet together around Thy Word this morning. We pray that, Lord, Thou wilt speak to every heart, in every family, in every situation. And we pray, O God, that Thou wilt work Thine own work in every heart and every life today. We pray for Thy presence to be with us. And Lord, that Thou wilt go before us in all that is said and done this day, to the glory and to the praise, to the honor of Thine almighty name, we ask these things. Amen. We'll commence in our worship of the Psalm 100. All people that on earth do dwell, sing to the Lord with cheerful voice. You'll hear psalms and hymns from previous services held in our church building. The Psalm 100 on page 91, if you have a hymn book, you can turn to it now. Seek the Lord's face in prayer. Our eternal God and our gracious Father in heaven, we bow in Thy holy and blessed presence this morning in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, standing upon the merits of the precious blood, having this access through that new and living way which Thou hast consecrated for us, through the veil that is to say His flesh. We thank Thee for this abundant entrance that we have into Thy presence today. We pray that Thou wilt meet with us and bless us around Thy word. We pray that Thou wilt challenge our hearts today, and that Thou wilt build us up as Thy people in our holy faith, and that Thou wilt lead us on with Thyself. These days of great darkness all around us, we pray that the glorious light of that glorious gospel of Christ will shine, and we pray that we might be, O God, shining lights for Thee in this dark world of sin, that we might seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all other things shall be added unto us. We pray that Thou wilt take us, O God, and that Thou wilt use us, that we might be instruments in thine hand in these days for the glory and for the praise, for the honor of thy name. We pray, O God, for the salvation of those that know thee not, that even today as thy word is preached, that thou wilt speak to some heart, and Lord, that thou wilt work in some life, that thou wilt move in families today, that thou wilt bring individuals and family members and families in total to the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee, O God, that thou canst work, and that thou canst move, and that thou canst answer prayer. We pray that thou wilt do that today, even for the praise, for the honor and glory of thy name. We pray for those who have wandered away from thee, and maybe today finds them cold and backslidden in heart and life, wandering afar off. We pray that thou wilt bring them back. Lord, may they return to the Father's house today, and may they know the blessing of restoration to the Lord. Restore unto them the joy of thy salvation. We pray for thy church today, that it might be blessed across our land and across the world. We pray that everywhere where the gospel is going out today, by whatever means, Lord, that are used in these times, we pray that thou wilt use it for thy glory, thy praise, and thine honor. Bless the church family. We pray that thou wilt meet the need of every individual, every family today. Let us know those who have sickness within their families. We pray for healing, restoration for all such. Those who are facing hospital appointments, consultations, treatments, all sorts of health issues that they're dealing with and challenged by at this time. We pray that thou wilt meet their needs even at this time. Lord, that thou wilt give grace and help in our families too, where there's sickness. We pray, Father, that thou wilt draw near today, and that thou wilt give that healing and that restoration. We pray for those that know thee not in their situation of sickness. We pray that they may, through these times, in the quiet moments, in a hospital bed or home at home, we pray that thou wilt work in their hearts and draw them to know and to trust in the Savior. We pray for the salvation of our families. We pray, O God, that thou wilt bless the whole work of God in this house, connected with our local church here, and with all our congregations, and with all who preach truly the gospel of Christ. You know, meetings cannot be taking place as normal in these times. But Lord, bless every means that is used to get the word out. Think especially of the boys and girls, the young people. Thank you, Lord, for the young people being able to meet by Zoom on Friday night. Bless the word that went forth there. We thank you for the prayer meetings yesterday on Zoom. And we praise thee, O God, for the spirit of prayer, even across our denomination and across this land at this time. Lord, we pray that you'll keep us in prayer. Pour out the spirit of prayer upon us. And grant, Lord, that we might pray earnestly for our government, that they may be guided aright in their decision making. For our health service, we pray today. Lord, for doctors and nurses, for those who work in care homes and care in the community, for all key workers today, pray that thou wilt keep them safe. All who feel vulnerable through this pandemic, those who are ill with this virus, touch and heal them, whether at hospital or at home. We think of those who have sorrow through it. Lord, we pray for comfort and grace for all such at this time. O Lord, answer prayer. Those who are going through other treatments that we've heard of too, at this time, we pray that thou wilt minister to them and help them through these times of treatment. Lord, we ask that thou wilt be with us now. Grant us thy presence, Lord, this day, and move across our land and across this world with a mighty Holy Ghost, heaven-sent revival. We pray in Jesus' name for God's eternal glory. Amen. Well, boys and girls, we've been thinking about the story of Moses. And Moses, of course, was told by the Lord to lead the people out of the land of Egypt. And he was God's man. And then God brought alongside him Aaron, his brother, to help him in the work that he had to do. And God was going to bring the people out of bondage and give them liberty, the children of Israel. He was going to bring them out from under the Egyptian power, and he was going to give them freedom from bondage. And you know, boys and girls, through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are given freedom. Freedom from the bondage of our sin. And we're brought into the liberty that is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you ask the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart today, thank God you can know this liberty and this freedom from sin. But Pharaoh was a wicked man, the king of Egypt. And he was going to listen to Moses. He wasn't going to listen to the pleas of the children of Israel. And as Moses pleaded on their behalf, that they might be freed from their burdens and freed to go from the land of Egypt to worship the Lord. And so, boys and girls, God was going to show his power even in the land of Egypt. And he was going to bring judgment upon the land. Various plagues, boys and girls. You may be familiar with all of these plagues already. There were many of them that came upon the land. The plague of flies, the plague of frogs, the plague of hail. And maybe you can think in your own home today about the various plagues that came upon the land of Egypt. The Bible speaks of those plagues that came upon the land. And despite all of these plagues coming, boys and girls, the plague of darkness was another. And despite all of these, yet Pharaoh's heart, once the plague was taken away, once God showed his mercy to Egypt, he hardened his heart again against the Lord. He wouldn't let the children of Israel go. Boys and girls, you know, hardness of heart. Maybe that represents you this morning, because despite God speaking to you many times, yet you've hardened your heart. Even as a boy or girl, you've heard the gospel in Sunday school and in your own home or children's meeting, and you've heard it again and again, and yet you've refused to listen. God's hand has been upon you, and God has given you opportunity, and yet you've failed to take that opportunity to come to the Lord. And Pharaoh hardened his heart. Don't harden your heart today against God. Don't harden your heart against the gospel, boys and girls, but open your heart and receive Jesus into your heart to be your Savior and Lord. And so God was going to bring all these judgments upon the land of Egypt. He was going to show his power. And you know, God is showing his power in this world, even at present, boys and girls. We have this awful virus that has spread across this world, not only in our own land, but right across the world. Country after country has this virus. Oh, that people, men and women, and you boys and girls, will not harden your heart against God, but that you will accept God into your life. Accept the Savior and trust him today. I trust that you will do that, boys and girls. Don't harden your heart against the Lord. Now we're going to have a little chorus, and it's running over, and you'll see it on your screen before you, hopefully, and we trust that you will join in as it's played through a couple of times. Thank you. We do welcome you to our service this morning, and we trust the Lord will bless our coming together in this way, in His name today. Do remember to have prayer in your homes this afternoon. We encourage God's people to pray, and we're glad for those of you who were able to join in yesterday with the Zoom prayer meetings organized by our presbytery morning and afternoon. We trust that we will continue to pray in our homes and seek the Lord's face even this afternoon. We encourage you to do that. Then the gospel service online tonight, again, as we bring the gospel on the subject, the sting of sin. The sting of sin. Do remember the meeting tonight. We trust you'll join us online at that time. And pray much for the blessing of God upon His word tonight. Wednesday at 8 p.m. is our Bible study online. The survey of the New Testament continues. And this week we're on 2 Timothy, God willing, followed by a season of prayer in our homes. We trust that you'll join in with that and then follow on with prayer at home on Wednesday evening. And then Friday night is a presbytery meeting for elders by Zoom, and the link will be forwarded to you in due course this week. Do remember that, 8 p.m. for presbytery meeting on Zoom. And then next Lord's Day, the service is 11:30 and 7 online again, and we will be preaching the Word of God, God willing, at those services. We trust you'll again be able to join in with us and to hear the Word of God at those times. Do pray for all affected by this virus and other illnesses at this time. Pray for those who are recovering in our own congregation from various illnesses, waiting for procedures, and for others going through treatments and various matters that are challenging their health at this time. Do pray for divine intervention too in relation to this virus at this time. Our services will be continuing in this manner, the weekly meditation on Facebook and WhatsApp as well. Do remember these and link in. And do look out for each other and ring up each other and keep in contact by whatever means safely you can do so. And we trust that if anyone has needs that you will make contact with us. We are here to help you. Do text or ring us, either on the landline or by the mobile or email, whatever means you want to use to contact us, please do so, and we're available to help you in whatever way we can. Offerings can be forwarded, as has been indicated, to the brethren concerned, indicating what they are for, and do please detail that to the brethren if you're sending them in, or you can hold on to them until we return to church for public worship. We normally lay aside our offerings, our tithes and offerings for the Lord's work at this particular time. And we're going to have another hymn. It's the hymn number 20 in your book. We trust, again, you'll join in as you hear this online this morning. We praise Thee, we bless Thee, our Saviour divine. All power and dominion forever be Thine. We sing of Thy mercy with joyful acclaim, for Thou hast redeemed us. All praise to Thy name. It's on page 183 of your hymn book there. You can turn to it and join in as you hear the singing.
Thank you.
We're turning in our Bibles to the book of Joshua, the book of Joshua, chapter 7, and reading together from the opening verse. Book of Joshua, chapter 7, reading together from the opening verse of this scripture. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing, for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth-Aven, on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, Go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, Let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but few. So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. The men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate even on to Shebarim, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted, and became as water. And Joshua rent his clothes, and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide, he and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan, to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites, to destroy us? Would to God we had been content, and dwelt on the other side Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say, when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it, and shall environ us around, and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name? And the Lord said unto Joshua, Get thee up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel has sinned. They have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. They have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except ye destroy the accursed from among you. Up, sanctify the people, and say, Sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, There is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies, until ye take away the accursed thing from among you. In the morning, therefore, ye shall be brought according to your tribes, and it shall be that the tribe which the Lord taketh shall come according to the families thereof. And the family which the Lord shall take shall come by households. And the household which the Lord shall take shall come man by man. It shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire. He and all that he hath, because he hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord, because he hath wrought folly in Israel. So Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought Israel by tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. And he brought the family of Judah, and he took the family of the Zarahites, and he brought the family of the Zarahites, man by man, and Zabdi was taken. He brought his household man by man, and Achan the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah was taken. And Joshua said unto Achan, My son, give, I pray thee, the glory to the God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done, hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, Indeed I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, thus and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment, and 200 shekels of silver,
and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight. Then I coveted them and took them. And behold, they are hid in the earth, in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran unto the tent. And behold, it was hid in his tent, and the silver under it. And they took them out of the midst, them out of the midst of the tent, and brought them unto Joshua and unto all the children of Israel, and led them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with them took Achan the son of Zerah, and the silver and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons and his daughters, and his oxen and his asses and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had. And they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones, and burned them with fire, after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. Amen. And we know that God will bless to us the reading of his inspired, inerrant, and infallible word. Let us bow before the Lord in prayer. Let us all engage in prayer this morning. Our gracious God and Father, we turn now to the preaching of thy word. I am trusting thee for power. Thine shall never fail. Words that thou thyself hast given me must and shall prevail. We ask in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. I want to continue with you today in the book of Joshua. The theme we've been taking is journeying through Joshua. But the subject again today is that of conquering the land. That's our subject for today. As believers in Christ, we are to be more than conquerors through him that loved us. And as the children of Israel move forward into the land of Canaan, the land of promise, that involved for them the conquering of the land. And we were in this to some extent last week, and so we want to pick up where we left off last time. We discovered in the last verses of chapter 5 the revelation of the captain. And of course, that captain is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And then we noticed also the record of the conflict, and that's where we finished off really last week. Chapter 6 to 11. We finished actually in chapter 6 where we were looking at the secrets of victory and how we can know victory, not only victory for Israel, but victory in our own lives. It's by faith and then obedience and finally courage. But today as we pick up in this particular section of the book of Joshua, we want to notice the causes of defeat. For the next part of the record here tells us of defeat for Israel. Defeat for God's people in this particular situation. It is very solemn, but it is also very significant. Just as the book of Joshua comes before the book of Judges, so after Jericho, in chapter 6, came Ai in chapter 7. After victory came defeat. And let us believe at once that the experience of victory may blind us to the possibility of defeat. You know, heights are dangerous places, and only a steady hand can carry a full cup. In the experience of the Lord Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry, after the dove In Matthew chapter 3, the Spirit descending upon him came the devil. And Satan's attack upon the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 4. And can we suppose that it will be anything different in our own lives? In fact, as in Nahum, Ai was a much smaller place than Jericho. And though we shall see it was not any less important in the unfolding plan as far as the children of Israel were concerned. As we have read in chapter 7 today of Joshua, the story of Israel's first fight and first failure. There are two main causes of defeat here as far as Israel were concerned. First of all, there was self-confidence. And then there was covetousness. First of all, then, self-confidence. And we see that in the portion we have read from today. Joshua chapter 7, verses 2 to 5. Notice especially verse 3. And they returned to Joshua and said, "Let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but few." It will be seen at once that there was a wrong standard of judgment, and how dearly they paid for it. You see, the center of gravity had shifted here from the divine to the human. From spiritual might to fleshly mathematics. And the point is not more soldiers would ensure victory. So far from this being the case, Gideon, you remember, in the book of Judges, chapter 7, was told that he would have to get rid of most of his army if he would defeat the Midianites. And what mattered or matters is that they and we ourselves too trust completely in God and do our utmost. And Joshua here did neither of these things at this particular time. And so Israel suffered defeat and they were overcome by self-confidence. And this self-confidence was not the expression of deliberate or considered sin, but was due to thoughtlessness and prayerlessness. There are no occasions, men and women, on which we are able to win battles without the help of God. The arm of flesh will fail us. We dare not trust our own. We need the help of God. And we have to seek the help of God in every challenge and in every situation of life we find ourselves in. Self-confidence is simply making self the center and circumference of one's confidence. And this is a denial of Christ and Christianity. Remember Peter, many ways so impetuous. And such a lovable character as we look at Scripture and read about Peter. And yet, he said that though all the disciples denied the Lord, he would never deny him. And yet he was the one who did. Overcome by a sense of self-confidence, we can fall by the wayside. And we can fail and suffer the most awful defeat. And that's what happened here, as far as Joshua and the children of Israel were concerned. But the second cause of defeat was covetousness. And that led to irreligion and immorality. We have it before us here in the chapter 7 of the book of Joshua. Chapter 7, verse 11. Israel has sinned They have also transgressed my covenant which I commanded them. For they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and assembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. And we read on down here, and how this became a cause of defeat. Israel, verse 1 says, committed a trespass in the accursed thing. You read on down the chapter, verses 11 to 13, you will see how it's further described to us. And Achan, a member of the camp of Israel, took some of the spoil from Jericho. A Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver, a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, he hid it in his tent. Sin of covetousness. The Bible says, thou shalt not covet. The Bible says, take heed and beware of covetousness. And so there's the warning there about this sin in Scripture. And this sin here of covetousness was twofold. He took what was forbidden. And in doing so, he robbed God. Go back there to chapter 6, verses 17 to 19 of the book of Joshua. You discover what it says, that the city of Jericho was to be accursed. And of course, they were not to take of the accursed thing. All the silver, verse 19, and the gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. And the root of both these sins was covetousness. Achan said in verse 21, I saw, I coveted, I took, I hid. And this follows the pattern of the sin of our first parents in the book of Genesis. The woman saw, she desired, she took, she did eat, she gave to her husband, and he did eat. It is the normal pattern of every sin. As the stories of Lot and Samson and David and Judas and many others in Scripture show us. The Bible tells us in the book of James, chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. It's not a sin to be tempted, but it is a sin to yield to temptation. The outward object has no power to make us fall except as it corresponds to an inward affection, the inward desire, and then the putting hand, our hand towards sin. And the curse of the world from the beginning is found largely in two things, in seeking out the hidden and taking the forbidden, and in yielding to curiosity and covetousness. And how many are taken over by covetousness today? And perhaps in your heart, even this day there is covetousness. And you have been engaging in this sin, which is expressly forbidden in Scripture. John Trapp, the Puritan, said this, covetous men, though they have enough to sink them, yet they have never enough to satisfy them. And how many, in their covetous ways and practices, are never satisfied, no matter how much they have or possess. Now this is bad enough in the individual, but it never ends there. You see, no one can live to himself, and no one can sin to himself, as a drop of poison does not remain at the point of injection, but affects the whole body. So when we sin, we injure not only ourselves, but other people also. And so not only was Achan affected, but all Israel suffered because Achan had sinned. The Bible tells us there in verses 11 and 12 concerning this very matter. It was Achan only that had done this. Yet it was attributed to Israel. And Israel was held responsible. But when Achan was convicted, it was he and not Israel that died. You remember in the New Testament, in the book of the Acts of the Apostles, the story of Ananias and Sapphira, and how they held back part of the price, and how the Lord dealt with them because of that sin, and dealt with them in a very severe manner. It is true, of course, that a man's sin is his own, but it is equally true and it does not terminate in himself. As you read through Psalm 51, we read how David acknowledged that he had sinned. But we know that the consequences of his sin followed in his family. My dear friend, the Christian church is not an organization, but it is an organism. And if you, a member of it, live an unchristian life, you are injuring the whole church of God. Are you involved in sin today? Covetousness or some other sin? Affecting the testimony, your own personal testimony, but also the testimony of the church of Christ. We shall be held responsible not only for the evil we have done, but also for the consequences of that sin in other lives. We shall be held accountable also for all the good we might have done and yet did not do. Well, might we say with the psalmist in Psalm 130, verses 3 and 4, "If thou, Lord, shouldst mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared." And the Lord told Joshua there would be no victory for Israel until sin in the camp would be searched out and judged. But when it was done, then he said, chapter 8, verse 1, "Fear not, neither be dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee. Arise and go up to Ai. See, I have given into thy hand the king of Ai and his people and his city and his land." You see, no believer who's been overcome by sin should sink into despondency. But rather, they should repent of that sin and come again to the Lord and be restored to Him. And come again to serve the Lord more totally relying upon Him. Think of David, how the Lord restored him. And he said in that psalm we've mentioned, Psalm 51, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." You remember Peter, when he was faced with his denial of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord looked upon Peter, he went out and wept bitterly. He was restored. Remember Mark, who went not to the work, but yet he was restored, and the Lord gave him another opportunity of service. These people all suffered defeat, but they rose again to glorious victory. Failure in the past has lessons to teach us, but not to paralyze us. You see, there's a gospel of recoverability for all who will live victoriously. And Joshua again attacked Ai. Taking all the men of war, he completely destroyed it. And this valley of Achor became a door of hope. Hosea chapter 2, verse 15. And because he sorted out the matter, sin was dealt with, and the Lord gave victory in the place of defeat. In the record of the central part of the great campaign in Canaan, there are two more incidents. So important both historically and spiritually. We call your attention to them. First of all, the proclamation of the law at the Mounts of Ebal and Gerizim, chapter 8, verses 30 to 35. And then secondly, it relates to the deceiving of Joshua and the princes of Israel by the craftiness of the Gibeonites, which led to an alliance with them in chapter 9. When we read the book of Ephesians, those verses from chapter 6, verses 10 to 18, noting especially the words in 17 and 18 of Ephesians chapter 6. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance. And here the Word of God and prayer are shown to be vitally related. And in the two passages in Joshua which we are considering, we see the Word of God that was honored at Shechem. Chapter 8 of Joshua, verses 30 to 35. And then we see that prayer was neglected at Gilgal in chapter 9. But neither of these factors is of any practical use without the other. A prayerless regard for the Word of God is of no avail. And praying which neglects the Word of God is equally unavailing. After the proclamation of the law at Shechem, a heathen tribe in the land came wildly to Joshua and asked for a league with Israel. And so genuine did they appear that Joshua made peace with them. Chapter 9, verses 14 to 15. And then made a league with them and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. And you know, this alliance should never have been made. And never would have been made if Joshua and the princes had shown discretion as well as courage, if they had sought the Lord about the matter. And if we are subject to the Word of God, we shall not judge after the sight of the eyes, nor after the hearing of the ears, as Isaiah chapter 11, verse 3 teaches us. We shall not be caught by the wiles and devices of the devil. How we need that spirit of discernment to be able to discern between right and wrong. How we need to seek the Lord and ask counsel of the Lord about every matter of life. Every decision you make domestically, every decision that's made privately or has to be in the public domain, seek the counsel of the Lord. Seek the guidance of the Lord. We've spoken of the central campaign in some detail because the historical record is detailed, occupying four chapters there. Chapters 6 to 9 of the book of Joshua. And because alike in history and spiritual experience, beginnings are of the utmost importance, we need to have a good start. We need to have a right start. And a good start and a right start is a great asset in spiritual life, as it is in the ordinary matters of life. After the conquest of the central campaign in Canaan, Joshua turned his attention first to the south and then to the north. And as we have indicated before, the fate of the south depended on two battles. Those two battles were at Gibeon and Beth Horon, and the fate of the north upon one battle at the waters of Merom. In neither of these two campaigns were the mistakes repeated which had been made in the first campaign. Here there was no self-confidence. There was no disobedience. There was no covetousness. There was no prayerlessness. But on the contrary, there was that simple expression of faith in God, promptness of action, uncompromising warfare. You see, men and women, we need to learn from the lessons of the past. Past failures, and we've all failed. Past times when we've fainted by the way, and we've been defeated. Learning the lessons of the past and not repeating the failures of the past equip us for the future, so that we may make progress with God, that we might grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we might go on with Him and go through with Him in these days. May that be so in your life and in mine. But then, as we come to a conclusion today, we think of the review of the conquest. Chapter 12 gives us that review of the conquest. Chapter 12 of the book of Joshua. And this last lesson is taught here, which ends the second division of the book. First of all, Joshua details the victories on the east of Jordan, verses 2 to 6. And then on the west of the river in verses 7 to 24. Which were first in the center of the land, and then in the south, and then in the north. And finally, he mentions the number of conquered kings to be 31 in verse 24 of the chapter 12. It will be well for us if at the end of life's journey we have recollections like these. Recollections that Joshua had, that the people of God had, of how God was on their side, and God was with them, and God was causing them to progress, to advance in the land that He had promised to them. Oh, that we might be able to say with Paul, he came to the end of his life. He said this in 2 Timothy 4, verse 7, I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Such a testimony will not be in the spirit of the Pharisees, a boasting type of thing, but in gratitude to Him who has called us to the conflict, called us to the battle, and enabled us to conquer. May, as we reflect on battles fought and victories won, we be able to say we have fought a good fight. We have finished the course and kept the faith. Others will look to battles that lie before them in the future. They can learn from the faithful, courageous warriors who have preceded us. We can profit from their failures, follow their faith, repeat their victories, realize their ideals, have a share in that shout which will bring every Jericho crashing to their doom. May God help us to learn from others. Others who have warred a good warfare, who have fought a good fight, who have finished the course, who have kept the faith. Stand then in His great might, with all His strength endued, and take to arm for the fight the panoply of God, that having all things done, and all your conflicts past, you may overcome through Christ alone, and stand complete at last, conquering the land. May the Lord help us to be conquerors. May the Lord help us to be more than conquerors through Him that loved us, through our Lord Jesus Christ, following the great captain. Are you following the great captain today? If you're not saved, you're not following the great captain. But thank God you can get saved today and you can commence to follow Him in the course of your life. Put your hand today in the nail-pierced hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust Him as your Savior, even today, and your Lord. May God help us as His people to conquer, to move forward in His name, not to be static, not to countenance sin, but to have sin removed from the camp, that the victory may be ours through our Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless His holy word to our hearts this morning. Let us pray. Father in heaven, bless Thine own word. We pray of Thee to all our hearts. Speak to us now, we pray, in our quietness before Thee. And Lord, lead souls who know Thee not to know Thee and trust Thee as Savior, we pray in Jesus' name, for God's eternal glory. Amen. We're turning in our hymn books to the hymn number 48. I sing the almighty power of God that made the mountains rise, spread the flowing seas abroad, built the lofty skies. Again, these hymns were sung at previous services in the church. We trust you'll join in at home. It's on page 195 as we sing this hymn together. Ballygowan Free Presbyterian Church this morning. We trust the Word of God has been a blessing to your heart today. May God bless you all. Let us pray. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all now and forevermore. Amen.